Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Resilience Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we connect community leaders who are having a positive and significant impact on our youth. I am your host, Cynthia Deal, along with our producer in the studio, Karen Nowicki.
Hello.
Hello. With us in the studio today, we have Jeff Bisgrove and Marina Gonzalez. We are delighted to have both of you with us today. So, Jeff, I'm going to have you kick us off, and I want you to tell us a little bit about your organization and what you're doing to help our youth today.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Arizona Neighborhood Transformation is our organization, and what we do is we work with our friends in Guadalupe to help them transform their community closer to wholeness. And specifically, what that means is we work with children. We run an after-school tutoring program, and we really focus our effort on helping the kids and their families be all that they can be successful in high school, and go on to careers in college, and in so doing, improve Guadalupe for everybody.
How long have you been doing this? How long has your organization been around?
We've been around for 7 years, and we've been doing the after-school program for six. We're in our sixth school year right now.
Can you share with us a little bit about what that after-school program looks like?
We meet Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays currently, 4 to 6:30. In Guadalupe, the Tempe and the Kyrene school districts split the small community. There are many different schools that kids go to, and we work with kids from age 4 through 21. Mm-hmm. We'll work with a very broad range of children to help them be successful in school, be successful in life, and move on and be successful community members. But that means we have to work with many, many different schools. Mm-hmm. There's probably over a dozen, probably closer to 15 schools across that range that work with. So that we do that, we have an after-school tutoring center in the middle of Guadalupe in the Mercado there, where kids can come in after school and work on their homework, get some help, just find a quiet place, have computers to deal with things. A lot of times they don't have computers or access to computers at home. So we provide those things to allow them to be successful. We provide tutors as well.
Do you have specific programs that you have in place that the kids actually go through?
We don't have specific programs. Now, during the summer, we do run a specific program, but the kids are off over school, so we'll work with 30, 40 kids. And then we have a very scripted program with which this last summer we focused in the mornings on reading because we're really focused on reading. It's the fundamental building block for success in school. So we focus on readings in the morning, and we'll do crafts and sports and fun things in the afternoon. The summer program is more scripted. During the school year, we really focus. We try to be individually focused on the student for what they need to be successful. Maureen and I were actually talking about this morning. One of the most common problems kids have today is they do their homework, but they don't turn it in.
Interesting.
So we actually, it's amazing. A lot of the times we'll actually try to get in communication with the teachers and just work with the parents and the teachers to make sure they turn their homework in.
So what's behind that? If they're doing the homework and they're putting all the hard work into it, why are they not turning their homework in?
We're not quite sure. It can be, sometimes you ask the kid, well, I lost my backpack, or I got distracted, or I forgot I brought my homework.
Is it a self-esteem issue?
I think it is.
That's what I was going to say.
I think it is. I think just the fact that a lot of times they fail, so they do something that is right.
If I don't turn it in, I won't know that you're going to tell me that I'm not smart enough, not good enough, and I can't do it.
Yes. So we had a student the other day that did a really big project with one of our tutors, and it came out really nice, amazing. He didn't turn it in.
So it's
because he felt like he did it wrong and people were going to laugh at him. And it was the first project that he did completed and turned in.
But still that fear is already, and we're talking, how old is this kiddo?
He's 11.
Right. So I taught third grade for years. We talked about that before we came on air, and had a lot of Guadalupe kiddos in my class at the time when I was at Norte. And obviously, this is just not Guadalupe kiddos. This is for any of these kids who are struggling to keep up and to learn. So what an incredible opportunity for them to come to the center and spend afternoons with your team to not only have that reading help, the math help, whatever it is that they need, but also help build up that self-esteem.
Right. Yeah. Do you find that that self-esteem and that confidence is a huge factor in with these kids?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I see it when they come to the tutoring room, I see that they're very comfortable because they know it's their space.
Safe.
Yeah. It's their space, and they do their homework. They're not afraid to fail there. But once they leave and they go to school, it's different. A lot of the times they say, well, the teacher doesn't have enough time. I ask for help, but she has other things to do. She has other kids that the whole class. And at our program, we focus just on them. And it's one-on-one. You know, they get the help they need and they're more comfortable that way.
Well, Jeff, you talked a lot about, you know, the community. Mm-hmm. And I'd like for you to touch on a little bit how the community, how your current community is involved, and then how can new community that is not aware of this, how can they get involved? And I would also like to brainstorm a little bit, if you're okay with it, about what can we do to help build these kids' self-esteem and their confidence? I know that was a lot of questions, but you can pick which one you want.
So our whole approach is asset-based community development. So we focus on the assets in a community. So often when people see a underserved community, they'll go in and they'll say, okay, what do you guys need? Our approach is totally different. We look at what is there? What do you have? What do you want to do? And how can you be involved in making it happen? So we very much focus on engaging the parents as well as the kids. So we do a lot with the parents, and we do as much as we can do to encourage the parents to be involved at whatever level they can be. So we really want this to be community owned, community led, and community driven. Now, that said, there are holes. So, you know, there isn't a lot of money in Guadalupe. And so our organization steps in and we provide the financial support for things. And we're supported by our donations, you know, people who donate to us. We also bring in people. So some of our tutors are not in Guadalupe, but they have sort of joined the community. So it's a community of people both inside and outside Guadalupe that are working to help improve it. But the big thing there is we're all participating with the assets that we have. Some people will donate money that allows us to rent a space and keep the lights on, provide wireless for the kids. Some people can provide by helping clean or helping doing some tutoring there. Whatever you can give, we all combine it together to make it work.
Do you currently have any businesses are these individual donors, families, or are they businesses as well?
So far, it's individual donors. We don't have any businesses that are consistently supporting.
Happy you're here. We might be able to help with that.
That would be good. We're also, our biggest way of fundraising is we are qualified with Arizona for the Working Poor Tax Credit. So that's our big thing at the end of the year. So you can donate to us and take off dollar for dollar if you pay Arizona state income tax. But so far to date, our majority comes from individual donations.
Good to know.
Okay.
Yeah. Marina, tell us more about the kids. You've been there for 6 years running the center?
Yes.
And what is your favorite part of it? I mean, what does it do for you?
Well, I started because I was really concerned about my kids.
Your own kiddos.
My own kids. And I have my kids and I'm raising other kids. So there were 9 altogether.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And 7 of them were basically the same age almost. So it was really hard for me to, you know, to keep it going, to make sure that they were on the right track. So a lot of people in our community, they wanted an after-school program. So I figured the best way to do it is if I did it, because then my kids would be there and I'd be helping them, and then I'd help other kids from the community. And my community is very important to me.
You've been in Guadalupe how long?
I've been in Guadalupe my whole life.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Yes. So, well, we started this program, and I think the best part is just seeing the kids when they get there. They're so excited. They know they're coming to do homework. We have rules. You do homework first. You read for 30 minutes, and then you can play.
Sounds like my house with my 10-year-old. No different.
Yeah, you can do artwork. You can do board games. You know, whatever we have,
you're welcome. Get your responsibilities out of the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they know they're coming to that, and they still want to be there. So that's like the biggest thing for me, just to see them walk in the door.
Yeah. So how does this work? Because the buses, both from Tempe Union and Kyrene, for most of the schools, they'll bus, right? Do they drop off at the center? Or do the kids go home first?
They go home first, and then they walk over. Yeah, they walk over, and they get there at different times. So kids start homework at different times. They finish at different times. And, you know, they're respectful to the other kids that are still doing homework.
We have family.
We have rules set, but we're really lenient with them. We want them to be comfortable.
Yeah.
How many do you typically see that come through that actually use the center?
Between 10 and 20.
Wow. You know,
at a time.
Yeah, at a time.
But we have about 25, 30 that we're working with, but they just don't all come at the same
time. Right. And during the summer, we have up to 50.
Yeah.
And there's no fee.
There's no fee.
Right? It's open to everybody.
Yes.
And how many kids, just to put it in perspective, approximately, how many kids are, you know, in that school age range in the Guadalupe community?
A lot. there's 5,500 people in Guadalupe, and I would imagine there's probably over 1,000.
A 1,000 kiddos that could be benefiting from the service, right? And right now, about 50.
Or a little less.
Yeah. And do you have the capacity, Marina, to help more?
We do.
At the space?
We do.
As well as the staffing and the help? Wow. Yeah. Tell me briefly, and then I want to get back to Cynthia's question, because I think it's very valid, and I was thinking the same thing. Let's brainstorm. What can we do to help? What do you hear from the parents whose kids are actively involved and engaged?
We have a lot of parent support. So what I tried to do is I tried to make sure the parents know, your kids come here, you help out. And we do. We have lots of parent support. You know, sometimes they'll come in. I mean, even if it's cleaning up, even if it's when we have our yearly banquet, all of our parents come and we cook food for everybody. We cook food for 200-300 people.
Wow.
And it's all from the parents. Sometimes, you know, if during summertime and we go on field trips, they do transportation. They come and help. They come and help. During summertime, you know, we provide lunch and the parents will come and help. It's all about the parents' help.
And you're the perfect example. Probably not every parent, and we know this to be true, is going to say, I'm going to rise to the occasion. We have this need. I'm going to do this because it's going to not only help my kiddos and the kiddos that have come into my care, but also my community. It takes a special person to do that. So thank you for that. And that's obviously recognized. But there are other parents who I'm sure wish that they could help some way, maybe not see the vision like you see it, but I love that you include them in the program so that it can grow, they can feel a part of it, and they can be part of what you're doing. I mean, it's a magical combination. And it sounds like in the, 7 years, Jeff, is that right? You guys have been at this for 7 years now. Are you hitting this sustainable part where it's the funding is there, or how can we help you with that piece? What else is needed? You mentioned volunteers, of course, and
so it's sustainable. And each year we get the amount of money necessary to provide. And each year we grow some. So we're able to support more kids. We're able to be able to expand the program. We have gone through three room changes in the Mercado. We're in the Mercado, which is in the middle of Guadalupe, so it allows easy access. The kids can all walk from Guadalupe. That was very important for us to be there. And we've gone through three, you know, kind of metamorphoses where we started with a small room, we got to a bigger room, and now we're at the biggest room in the Mercado.
Excellent.
So we're not quite sure where this is going. It'll go where the community wants it to.
Right.
So we open the doors to the kids who want to come and the parents that want to participate. Every year we've had the money to do that, and every year it's grown some. So we're just... We're looking for people, you know, who have a heart that want to come teach. And as Miss Marina says, you don't need to have any professional credentials to tutor. We have our middle school kids help our kindergartners
That's great.
You know, reading and because they can.
Right.
We have our high schoolers help the middle schoolers with reading problems. So if you can read, you can come and help a kid read.
Yes.
So you don't need to have any professional criteria. We're always looking for donations. We're also looking for partners. If a business wants to partner with us, we'd be more than happy to talk about that and to do that. We started out really working directly with the people, just the people that we had relationship with in Guadalupe. My wife and I started in Guadalupe 15 years ago, met Miss Marina. And we've just worked through the relationships we've had there. Over the last couple of years, that's expanded. We're now dealing with the tribe, the Yaqui tribe. Mm-hmm. They've actually started to do some support. The town of Guadalupe has been supportive once we started paying rent. And I completely understand that because we're now part of their community. They won't stay in business. The town needs money to stay in business like any other organization. So they've been very supportive. And our relationship has started to grow with them. So it's growing. So I hope it can grow stably.
In terms of the kids, I want to know, let's have a conversation around what would it look like, because I already have one idea, but what would it look like? So there's obviously the financial side of it that you just talked about, which is vitally important, foundationally important. So it seems like the other piece of that is I want to go back to the low self-esteem and the confidence piece, because that's huge also. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you have the funding, that's great, that's fine. But if these kids are not believing in themselves and if they don't have that confidence to follow through with things, that hurts in a lot of different ways. So to start off with, I would love to volunteer to come to your community and do a workshop or speak one-on-one with these kids, because I am all about building their confidence, their self-esteem, learning, showing them how to uncover their value that they have to offer. And I want to start seeing them turning in their homework. That's what I want to see. So, when we're off the air, let's get that booked and let's get that on the calendar. I would love to do that.
And let Business Radio X help promote that. I obviously know Cynthia's work firsthand with Rise Strengths and the Gallup Poll Strengths Finder, mm-hmm. and I'm fascinated. Before meeting Cynthia, I didn't even know about. I know the DISC assessment. I know Myers-Briggs. I had never heard of the Gallup Poll Strengths Finders, but the story after story mm-hmm. about this way that the kiddos and adults for that matter, but let's talk about the kids, can understand what their strengths are and then more importantly, be able to articulate it. And I can't help but think that's probably what's happening with some of these kiddos. Again, I taught third grade for years and I was an administrator in Kyrene. And I remember when the child feels safe, that's the first, right? It's almost the Maslow's hierarchy. When they feel safe and they know that they're protected, you know, physically from harm and they have people supporting them, then the next level is this self-esteem piece, the self-actualization, right?
Right.
And so I can't help but think if Cynthia helps, obviously, with you guys knowing specifically how to help these kids get to that place where they can ask for help in the mm-hmm. classroom. Yes, your teachers are busy. Your classrooms are probably, some of them are overcrowded. If you are a soft-spoken, quiet voice, or you have for some reason a reputation that you're a pain in someone's butt, then you have already decided that you're playing a role in that classroom, and your teacher has likely helped you create that role and that persona. And what Cynthia, what you're proposing, I'm guessing, so correct me if I'm wrong, is helping them shift that.
Yes, it's reframing how they view themselves is what it is. Mm-hmm. And when the kids take the assessment, it's amazing because they look through it, because these assessments, they're personalized. It's not a cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. So for example, my number one strength is relator. Anybody in this room could have relator in their top five or as their number one. But when you read your personalized report, it reads different every time. So it's very unique to them. And it validates them. When they read through it, they go, oh my gosh, how did they know that about me? Mm-hmm. So it's a very empowering tool to use. So what are some, can we brainstorm and think about some other things that would be ways to kind of pull in the outside community to help with the students? I mean, yes, the tutoring, great, we need that, but are there some more tangible ways to really help build these kids' resilience and hope?
We try to, the way I look at it is, you know, resilience is like any skill, you have to build it by practice.
Right.
So whether it's like, okay, taking strength finders and having conversations about where my strengths are and then actually looking at how I can actually use them. All of those are instances where I actually am working on building my self-esteem. A lot of these kids, and not just in Guadalupe, but other, they face circumstances where at home and at school, people are conspiring to give them instances to cut down on their resilience.
Right.
They're told they don't count, they can't do things. So I think it really comes down to different ways of giving the kids opportunities to prove they can do it, whether it's like with four-year-olds, we have them read over the summer program so that they can just simply learn, I can do this as a step. You know, we've talked about, you know, coaches one-on-one. I would love, as some of our older kids, you know, kids approach high school, I see opportunities where there's so much we could do around leadership development, you know, with your kids. One-on-one coaching, for example, we don't have the opportunity to, we can't do that now. We've just taken little steps, but that's another possibility. It really comes down to opportunities where I believe one person can meet, can interact with one or a small number of kids and just provide those incidents where it builds their resilience, that builds their self-esteem to start working against a lot of their life that cuts it down.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on this, Miss Marina?
Of course she does.
Well, one of the things that I do during tutoring time is I see the kids that think that they are not smart. So I use those kids. So what I do is when I notice that they're kind of, you know, not doing anything or they don't want to participate with the other kids, what I do is I tell them, well, so-and-so, do you want to help this person?
Right.
Because she's struggling. So can you help her? And you should see them.
Yeah.
They're just like,
oh, yeah,
I'm a tutor. You can tutor her. Oh, so I'm a tutor? Yeah,
because
you know what, you've done it already, you know what to do, and you can help her.
And that's to Jeff's point, giving them an opportunity in that forum to practice where it's safe.
And I use it a lot with like our third graders and fourth graders, because that's, I feel like that's a spot where they struggle so much. Mm-hmm. Like they're between, okay, I'm not the little one anymore, but I'm not the older one either. So I try to give them that responsibility. And I always tell them, this is your tutoring spot. This is your tutoring club. When we're done playing, you have to clean it up. You know, when we're done doing so-and-so, it has to get put away. That's your responsibility because this is your club.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And it helps them a lot, you know.
Right.
They get there and they're just like, this is my place.
So you've been at this for about 6 years then.
Yes.
So from the beginning, right? I mean, you mentioned that you two have known each other for several years, even before that.
We've raised kids together.
Oh,
that's how we, that's how I refer to it.
I'm sure that's appropriate. And your kids are about how old now? The question I'm leading to is, they've grown up with this as part of...
I met Jeff, my baby was going to be 4.
Oh my gosh. Your
youngest.
She's going
to be 17.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
Love it.
So...
And what is this kind of... What does this community mean to her then?
She takes... She does a lot in there. You know, she helps with tutoring. You know, sometimes she wants to take over. You know, she wants to be the one in charge.
Excellent.
The kids listen to her. The kids go to her. She actually did some of her high school classes because she was doing online. So she did it at the tutoring room.
Oh, wow.
Because we have access to the internet. All of my kids have a part. You know, they have a part there. They've worked there. They volunteer there. And they've... We have 8 graduates.
Awesome.
From our program.
High school graduates.
High school graduates.
Huge, isn't it?
Yes.
If a person stays with... If a child stays with the program, they'll graduate.
Yeah.
That might not be at 18, but they'll graduate.
Do you find... What do you find the percentage of students that do stay through the entirety of the program?
Not as much as we would like.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
We have kids that come and we have kids that go. We have kids that... You know, they won't be here for a year, but they come back and we just welcome them anytime.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of the kids, there's a lot of things going on in their lives. Sometimes, you know, the mom and the dad aren't together, so they'll go to live at one person's house or the other person's house, or they'll switch houses, or they'll go live with their aunt, you know, so they come in and out of the picture sometimes.
Okay. Yes, just yesterday we had a little boy that he hasn't been there for a year, and I see him walking out, and he walks up to me, and he's like, "Hi, Miss Marina," and he shakes my hand, and he's like 11. He shakes my hand, and he just said, "I just came to see you because I miss coming here."
Oh my goodness.
And I just let him know we're always here. Mm. You know, he's having a little bit of problems, and I just let him know we're always here whenever you want to come back.
That's perfect. And that's really, again, that safety. They've got to know that.
Yeah. And Miss Marina, so the work is not just with the kids. I mean, Miss Marina knows all of the families of the kids, and she's in contact with them. So we do things to help the, you know, a lot of times there's a challenge or a problem in the family. And we'll do what we can to help out or get them connected with services or help solve issues, you know, that might be getting in the way of the family being healthy.
You know, sometimes we even have parents that just walk in and I'm like, "Oh, what are you doing?" "Oh, nothing. I just wanted to come and sit here and say hi." And they just sit there and, you know, it might be that they need time away or...
It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. And they just come in and they're just like, "Oh, I just came to see what you guys are doing. And just came to sit here." Or I have somebody that shows up and says, "Oh, I was thinking about you. I brought you some coffee." And it just feels really good.
It sounds like you're becoming a... The word staple keeps coming to mind, but just the center. I mean, the Mercado, I can't even say that. Mercado itself is the center of Guadalupe. Anybody who lives, you know, outside of Guadalupe knows the Mercado. Mm-hmm. But now, after you've created this environment for families and students and well-being and education, it's great to have those affirmations, isn't it? For people to come and just pop in and see you.
Mm-hmm. It is. Sometimes I'm at home and it's like 9 o'clock at night and I get a message, "Are you doing tutoring tomorrow?" And I'm like, "Yeah, my kids will be there. They need help." So for me, it doesn't matter what time it is. I'm always there to help anybody, especially to help my kids, my program kids.
Yeah. Jeff, you may have covered this on the front end, but if you could just remind us again, or Marina also, what are the days and the hours that you guys are open for the kids?
Right now, we're open Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 4 to 6:30. We're contemplating doing starting on Wednesdays. We're talking with the town. The town wants to do some job development activities. We might be able to help them out, and that would mean we'd open up more. We tend to avoid Fridays because Fridays in Guadalupe with the church holidays and things are often very difficult to get kids in. So those are our hours now after school, 4 to 6:30.
We're also open on Wednesday nights. We just started.
Yes.
Last week was our first week, and I started a reading club, which is completely different from our tutoring program. We want the kids to have fun reading.
Yes.
So it's not like homework.
Okay.
You can come and we do reading and we do different activities and they get prizes.
Oh.
So last week was our first week and we had a pretty good outcome. I didn't know. I was scared because
you never know starting something.
Yeah.
Huh?
And they don't like to read. So I didn't think I was going to have very many kids. And we had enough. It was nice.
And your hours on Wednesday nights then? You're starting?
6 o'clock to 7:15.
Okay. And focused on reading then?
And it's just a reading club.
Mm-hmm. Mm, good.
I love that because you said the kids don't like to read. So it sounds like you're creating an environment that it's going to kind of shift that their frame mindset on that where, you know, reading can be fun.
That's what I'm trying to do because a lot of times when they come in for homework and they know they have to read 30 minutes and sometimes I just have to keep reminding them, they're spinning in chairs and they're... And I have to do the, I'm going to ask you questions about your chapter, so you better read it. And so it's like I have to enforce it on those days. And if they come to reading club on Wednesday, they're coming because they want to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to join this club and it's something for them.
Very fun, very fun. I want to come back to you, Jeff. You mentioned something about job development. Can you touch on that a little bit more?
So job development, if you work with poorer communities and you talk to people in the United States in those communities, what do you want? And you'll find inevitably two things rise to the top. One is they want better education. The education systems tend to be more broken and they can't move. So they're stuck there and the kids have poor graduation rates. The second thing you get is there aren't any jobs. So it's low income. And so those are the things they want. They want a better education. They want job development. So we started with education because that's what the community wanted. And now we've been playing around with some job development.
Okay.
We have a small vending company down there that we do to provide some jobs. We've also just recently been talking with the town. The town council really would like to spend some time and energy on their youth and help them get jobs. And we're looking, but they need a space where they can have kids come, have the youth come in and look for jobs, work on resumes, work on job interviewing skills, those kind of things. So that we're talking to them about what kind of program we can put together to bless the community of Guadalupe.
That sounds fabulous.
I'm taking fast and furious notes. I'm blessed that obviously Business Radio X to have a lot of people from many different industries in the Metro Phoenix area, and being an East Valley girl, I just can't wait for the on air button to go off to get you both connected with all the people that I know. Jeff, what is your background? Like, I mean, I heard how the two of you met, but tell us, how did you land here? Like, why is this a passion for you?
So I'm not a young guy. And I've not been in community development all my life. Most of my life, I have a high-tech background. I worked in business for 25 years. I worked for Intel Corporation for 25 years. So that's my background, and that's what I'm sort of used to. And I was in Intel up until I left Intel at the beginning of 2010, and I was general manager of a division at Intel, so I'd worked myself up very high in the corporation. And for me, it was a personal experience that God tapped me and said, okay, enough of that. Come work for me with my friends in Guadalupe. And my wife and I developed relations with Marina and other people in Guadalupe. So I left my job.
Oh my gosh.
And been doing this ever since.
So this is a full-time gig for you.
It is, but it doesn't pay.
we need to find a way to get it paid.
Well, no, I say that as a joke because I'm blessed. I don't need to. But all the money we raise goes to help the community, goes into the center in Guadalupe. Which is why we qualified for the Working Poor Tax Credit. But it really is. Guadalupe is a wonderful community. I love the folks there. I love the kids there, and I really enjoy working with the community to help them do what they want to do in what looks like the way they want it to look like. It's right. not like someone else from the outside has come in and says, yes. oh, this is what you should look like. No, this is, right. you know, this is our community. This is the way we want to do it, and we'll do it that way. So that's really what I enjoy doing.
And that's the sustainability piece, right? right? Because so often people who perhaps are more privileged and or, you know, feel they have more of an education think that they have and make assumptions that they have the answers and will push and shove. And really from a place of love and mm-hmm. compassion and passion. But if they don't have that piece, that this asset, that's a new term for me, that the asset-based programming, mm-hmm. if it isn't about what the community is needing and asking for and wrapping their arms around, it isn't going to be sustainable.
Absolutely.
Well, I would like to thank both of you, Jeff and Marina, for coming on the radio with us today. Thank you for sharing all the amazing and wonderful things that you are doing for the youth down in Guadalupe. And we will definitely stay connected, and you will get me on your calendar.
We look
and
forward to
and
it.
The invitation is open to come back. You know, hopefully we'll find that this has been of value for you. And maybe once you land some of these business sponsors, you can come back, Marina, and you'll be sitting in my seat. Oh. I know you've loved this that much that you're going to want to sit in my chair. And then we can have those corporations share about their contributions. Yeah. So just know the invitation. This really has been a pleasure. The invitation
Thank
is
you.
Always open.
Very Thank
much.
You.
If someone would like to reach out to you, how would they contact you? Facebook, website, phone, email?
Facebook and website. The Facebook is Arizona NT, so just look that up on Facebook, Arizona NT, and the website is azneighborhoodtransformation.com. Mm,
okay.
And either way, we'll work to get us. And there's also, Marina's got the
Guadalupe Learning Lab on
Guadalupe
Facebook.
Learning Lab on Facebook.
Oh, great so. Name, Guadalupe Learning Lab.
Yes.
Love it. And you manage that Facebook page yourself?
Yes, you
look
can
at
see the
you,
pictures
social
of
media
our kids,
gal.
And you can see all the stuff that we do and all of our volunteers.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yes.
Wonderful. Again, thank you. You've been listening to Resilience Radio with Business Radio X, where we bring community leaders together who are having a positive impact on our children.